presence of God. The presence of God is here. That is awesome. That is awesome just to think about and just to dwell on. The presence of God is here. I'm just trying to get in preaching mode. Sorry, excuse me. Oh, man, so many things to be joyful about. Hey, I just want to let you guys know that Pastor Phil right now is in Harrisburg, preaching at Trinity Life Center in Harrisburg. So keep him in your prayers. I believe they have a 10 o'clock, 10:30 service or something like that. Would you keep him in prayer as he goes and has been asked to deliver the word of God to that congregation up there? Also, Sam Purushotham is continuing his travels throughout the states and making his visits. Right now he's in Alabama visiting a church and who supports him as well. And he is bringing the report of how great things are happening in India. And I think next week we're gonna show you guys a little bit more of what's happening in India. God is just moving mightily. And he's actually moving mightily in the town, in the village that Cornerstone sent $4,000 to build that church. And it's like a flood, it's going like a wildfire. So it's really exciting that we get to be a part of that. So keep those guys in your prayers this morning as you leave here. Sound good? One more thing, I just want to say thank you to Anita and Juan. The guys, these two, Anita and Juan, could you just raise your hand for people who don't know you? I know I didn't tell you I was going to do this. Look at them, they're giving you a clap and they don't even know why. The outside perimeter of the church looks so nice because of their volunteer work, and they have put in many hours this week to make it look great. So thank you very much. Thank you so much. Well, this morning we are going to bring our sermon series to a close. I have been tremendously impacted by this sermon series called Revealed. The series has traveled through the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and today we're going to draw it to a close as Jesus ushers in the church, and we're going to see how our purpose is finally has been revealed. And so over the last few many weeks, even before Easter, we looked at how Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and how it's through Jesus that we see what the heart and the Father and the will of the Father looks like. We see the compassion of Jesus revealed, the mercy of Jesus revealed, the forgiveness of Jesus revealed, the provision of God revealed through Jesus. And we discovered the grace of God revealed through Jesus. And today, the purpose of the church is revealed through Jesus Christ. I want you to know today that your purpose, you exist to reveal the nature of God. You are alive this very moment. You bear the image of the living God so that you can reveal to the world the heart, nature, and character of the living God. This is our purpose. This is why we exist. And it wasn't until after the resurrection that all of this came to light for the disciples. After everything Jesus had done, it has finally been revealed. His physical presence was no longer on earth. He is now at the right hand of the Father. The disciples are like, what's taking place? What's happening now? I don't understand. His death purchased the freedom for all who would believe, and the resurrection was the victory that sealed it all. And all of this together, over that entire time, the Heavenly Father, God was creating for himself a people. Not people. He was establishing for himself a people who would be called by his name, who would carry out his purposes, who would reveal his nature, who would reveal his character into this world. And that people are you, the church. The church. This is our purpose. In one fell swoop, God restored the damage that was caused by the fall of man. All of your sin has been forgiven. You are now held in the grace of God, and your life is identified with the righteousness of Christ Jesus. In one fell swoop, God restored back to himself a people. And through the sacrifice of the cross, you and I have now been ushered into something called a new covenant. And this covenant means that we are now a part of this covenant. And it's a covenant that enables the people of God to now who are freely able to relate directly to the Father. Not needing to go through a priest, not needing to go through the temple, but can now access the living God themselves. And now there's an open relationship that has been opened up. And now it's this opened relationship that now thrusts us back into the world And the Lord says, take the outflow of this relationship that I have with you and now go and pour it out into the world in which you live. This is why you exist. This is why I exist. This is our purpose revealed. You exist to reveal the nature of God. Genesis 1 tells us that you and I are made in the likeness of God. We are made in His image. And so what that means is that you and I possess some of the qualities of the living God right now. You possess the qualities of the living God. It's in your original created design. And what God did through Christ is that He restored us back to our original design. And now that sin is no longer our captive and no longer our oppressor, we are now free to live as God intended for us to live. Amen. Our purpose has now been revealed. The love of the Father being made known through the atoning work of Christ, then sent the Holy Spirit to inhabit the church, so that through the atoning work of Christ, we might be able to glorify the Father. It's a beautiful cycle, and I tried to make a diagram of it, but I failed miserably. But it's the love of the Father. Imagine an arrow going through the atoning work of Christ. And then through being sent to the Holy Spirit to empower and to guide the church, so that through the anointing of what Christ did on the cross, the anointing work of Christ, we can now glorify the Father and make known to the world who the heart and the will of the Father is. Man, it's awesome news. And it's so important for us to remember this. The resurrection is over. God sent His Holy Spirit to inhabit His people. And so now you are inhabited by the living presence of God in this moment. His Spirit is rushing through your life. And it's when we yield ourselves to that truth that we able to experience the fullness of what that looks like in our lives. It has to be a life that is yielded to His Spirit empowering us in this moment. And now the church has been launched into the world. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read a powerful scripture of where this is the birthing statement of the church has been revealed right here. For 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 through 22. Listen to these words. Listen to these amazing, incredible words. And it is God who establishes us together in Christ. That's awesome right there. You and I are established. We have identity. We have belonging. We have a purpose. We belong to one another. We belong to Christ because God established it to be so. That is so important for us to understand, that we have been established as one united body. And for all those who are in Christ Jesus, we are established together with them. The church down the road and all who are in Christ Jesus, we are one with them. And the church in Drexel Hill, we are one with them. And the church in Wayne, we are one with them because God established it to be so, because we call upon His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. It is God who established us together in Christ Jesus. And here it is, you ready? And has anointed us. And has anointed us. And who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I'm going to read that again. Just close your eyes for a moment and listen to these words. And it is God who establishes us together with Christ and has anointed me and has put a seal upon me and given a Spirit in my heart as a guarantee. Wow. Before we go any further, today, if you can say with absolute certainty that you are in Christ, then the anointing of God is upon you. The anointing of God is upon you in this very moment. Let that just wash over you for a second. the anointing of the living God is now on me. You know the name Jesus Christ? You know what Christ means? It means anointed one. The anointed one. Because we're in Christ, Jesus anointed his people. And he poured out his spirit on all flesh in the Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 2. The anointed one poured out his spirit on all flesh to empower you for the very calling that God designed you for. And because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, you are now free to be that person. You are now free to live in that original design. And what Jesus knew is that you needed the same anointing that he needed. And so what he did is he poured out his anointing upon the entire earth. And for those who call upon Jesus Christ, who the blood of that sacrifice washes their sins clean, it is upon those people that God established in one as one, and he then poured out his spirit, his anointing upon you. This morning, do not leave here without understanding that you are anointed by God. Anointed by God. 1 John chapter 2 says the same thing. It says, you've been anointed by the Holy One. The anointing which you received from him abides in you. Means that it remains in you. This anointing doesn't get lifted off of you. When Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit to indwell the people of God, the anointing of God came upon the church in that moment. And that lifting, that anointing that empowers you to be who God designed you to be does not get lifted off. That anointing remains on the church. Amen. The anointing of God saturates this world right now in this very moment. And in Delaware County, in Broomall, in Drexel Hill, in Havertown, the anointing of God is upon you. And now you become God's representative people who are anointed by his Spirit to carry out his purpose, to carry out his work, and to reveal the nature and the character of God in this land. It's through you. This is awesome news. This is awesome news. Speak this truth over yourself right now. I am anointed by the Holy One. Just say it over yourself. Go ahead. I have been anointed by the Holy One. You know how powerful this anointing is? We see anointing all throughout Scripture. We see it all throughout Scripture. It is something that was so sacred. It was something that was so precious. And to be anointed was to mean that you have been chosen to serve the purposes of God. That the living God looks upon you and he says, you, my child, I want you to serve me. I chose you before the foundations of the earth to have my spirit indwell in your spirit so that your original design could be restored so that you could now be the person that you were always designed to be. And you're not going to be by yourself, but my spirit's going to empower you and I'm going to be with you each and every day. My anointing is going to fall upon you. I have chosen you for service. The anointing was something that signified a person's calling. To signify that you have been invited and that you've been called each individually by name. The living God calls you by your first name and he invites you to get caught up in what he is doing. The anointing is what's happened in the Old Testament. Someone was anointed and it signified that they were called by God. And not only that they were called by God, but when you are anointed, it means you are now authorized to carry out the work of God. You are now authorized to share this good news. You have been authorized by God because you're anointed. He's giving you permission to take what you know about what he's done for you and share that with the world. In deeds and in action. That anointing also meant that people, that God would actually give the people help when they needed it. So it signified that you're set apart. It signified that you're called. The anointing would signify that you've been authorized to carry out the work of God. And it also signified that God was going to be your ever-present help in the need. When something was anointed in the Old Testament, it showed that something had such a high value placed on it. When some, I'm going to say that again. When something is anointed all throughout Scripture, it means that God places such an incredibly high value on that thing. And he anoints them. Kings were anointed before their kingly reign. Priests were anointed before they go into ministry. Did you know that shields were anointed for battle? What a beautiful picture that is. To have your shield smeared with anointed oil before you go into battle. And you go into battle knowing my shield, my protection is anointed by God. My shield is set apart for the purposes of God. My shield is now a vessel to be used for the glory of God. And so do you see that this anointing is not only for calling, it's not only to empower you, it's not only to show that God is with you and authorize it, but it gives you authorization to go out in the name of Jesus and say, I've been authorized. And not only have I been authorized, but the God has anointed me and he set his seal of approval on me and he's placed his spirit within me. So every step that I take from this day forward, I am now anointed by the living God. I am protected by his anointing and I am authorized because God says I am authorized because I call upon his son Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you see this, church? This is your anointing. And this is all taking place after the resurrection. This is the church being thrust into its purpose now. This is the church being thrust into its very identity. You have been given the anointing of God for today. You are called by God individually, each by name, today. Invited to get caught up in what he's doing. And you've been authorized by Christ. It's his authority, not your authority. And so what we have to then do is become faithful stewards of the authority that he has given us. Not to abuse that authority. There are many who abuse that authority. But we are called to be faithful stewards of the authority that God has given us. And we have the protection of the anointing over our lives. This morning, have to know with absolute certainty that if you are in Christ Jesus, then the anointing of God is upon you right now. The anointing of God is upon you right now. Fast forward to chapter 3. What are we anointed for? What have we been anointed for? Chapter 2, verse 3 puts it out perfectly plain right here for us. This is Paul continuing on after he's just said that you've been anointed, established in Christ Jesus. And he goes on, he says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency is nothing that we have done, nothing in our own strength, nothing in our own ability, but our sufficiency comes only from God. And who, ready, here it is. What have we been made sufficient to be? What does this anointing anoint us for? We have been made sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. Ministers of the new covenant. So I want you to realize this morning that you have been anointed by God as his church. You have been anointed and established together as the people of God. A people, so that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is now anointed to be a... Thank you. A minister. Let that just embed itself within you right now. You have been anointed by God to be a minister. You have been anointed by God to be a minister of the gospel. Each and every one of you in this room. Just as Jesus was anointed and then he was sent out to proclaim freedom for prisoners, How many people do you know who are imprisoned right now in their lives? Who are in bondage? In the same way, the anointing that was upon Jesus has now been given to you, and so you are now appointed to go into this world and to proclaim freedom to those people who are imprisoned and in bondage. Just as Jesus was anointed and sent out to heal those who cannot see, to give sight to those who are blind. How many people do you know, not that are physically blind, but are spiritually blind, who cannot see, like Greg said, that what we see, who cannot see in the Spirit, and because they cannot see in the Spirit, they're frustrated, and there's just so much tension in their life because they can't see beyond what's in front of them. How many people do you know in your life who are spiritually blind? You have been anointed by the living God so that you can go and open the eyes of the blind. This is what you've been authorized to do. This is what you have been anointed to do. This is what God sends you out to do. This is your purpose revealed, church. Just as Jesus was anointed and sent out to release those who were oppressed and proclaim the Lord's favor, this anointing has now been given to you. This anointing has now been given to you. This has now become your purpose. You see, Jesus knew that we needed the same anointing that he had. And so what Jesus did when he ushered into his church, the Father and the Son, they just unleashed the Holy Spirit to indwell the people of the church, God's people. And so for all of those who are in Christ are now indwelt with the Spirit of God, who empowers them for mission and sets them out, gives them an identity, gives them authorization, gives them purpose, gives them an empowerment. You have everything you need to go into this world and to proclaim freedom to the people in this land who are oppressed. Gosh. Lord, I pray in this very moment as we're hearing these words, God, I pray that it becomes fresh in our lives. If it's new to us, Lord God, I pray that it gets embedded and it just opens itself up within our spirits right now. God, in this moment, we offer you our spirit so that we can understand the things that you understand. So, Lord God, that we can see clearly what you see has taken place in us, so that we may understand with all the knowledge and understanding that you have the overwhelming reality of what we are saying right now and what you have done for us. In this moment, God, our eyes and our hearts and our minds open to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The anointing of God was made possible because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it ushered us into our created purpose. In other words, our original design has been reinstated. Fast forward to Revelation chapter 1. Look at this, what this says. This describes what I just said perfectly. Pick up about halfway through, and it says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by the blood, has made us a kingdom, has made us a people, not people, a people, a kingdom of what? Priests. Priests. And so it's through the blood of Christ Jesus, to him who loves us and who has freed us from our sins by his blood, to all who are covered by the blood of Jesus, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve God and the Father. Wow! This is what you've been redeemed for. This is what you've been reconciled to. This is why your sins have been forgiven. This is why you no longer have the blemish of sin on your life, is because the one who shed his blood has freed you now to become a people, a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of ministers who now take out this gospel news and who carry it within them. You are a container of the living God. You know that? You are a container of the gospel. You are a container and a dispenser of the gospel news. And you take it with you everywhere you go. You carry it and you disperse it. You dispense it into the world. This is what this ultimately means. You ready? Ultimately, what this means is that your vocation or your calling or your functioning as an image bearer of God has been recovered and has been reinstated. Church, the magnitude of what these verses are saying is life-changing. The main task of this vocation that has been reinstated as an image bearer of God, your main calling as an image bearer of God is as a minister. It's as a priest of the new covenant. And it's the anointing of God that sets you apart and empowers you and commissioned you to go out from this place, outside of these walls of a building, and go out and accomplish the works and the purposes of your Lord Jesus Christ. It's the anointing that makes it possible to be a minister and a priest. And I hope you recognize that we're not talking about a priest in the sense that the world recognizes the priest. We're not called to wear a beautiful robe and to uphold ceremonial rituals. That's not, except for communion and baptism. Uphold those. Take communion with people. Take communion with those in your life. And every time you take it, you're authorized to lead people in communion. Didn't you realize that? You're authorized to baptize people. I don't have to baptize the two people that are be baptized on Sunday. You're authorized to do that. You're anointed by God as a minister and as a priest. Let that sink in. And so those two rituals, they're not rituals, they're sacraments that we hold very closely to us, communion and baptism. Carry them out. Go into your circles of influence. Take communion, Charlie, with that young man and his daughter and his mom. Take communion with them. I know you're going to do it. That's what you do. Baptize them in the bathtub. That's what you do, man. It's awesome. Find a creek and just throw them under, man. You're authorized, church. You're anointed by the living God to carry out His purposes. You have been authorized. You have been freed from sin to become a kingdom of priests to carry out the works and the purposes of God. This is good news. This is good news. Your purpose has now been revealed. Your purpose has now been revealed. Liz, would you and Dana just join me up on stage as we draw this to a close? I want to respond and just respond and with that song. Maybe Build My Life. That would be a good response song to this. And really, I just like the sound of music behind me. There's something about it. There's something about what God does with the music. It's so cool. My wife studies it, and I love it. I don't understand it all, but all I know is that music touches the heart. It touches the soul. Something happens when music is going, you know? Something takes place when music is going. So, church, what have we learned this morning? We wrap up this series. We see that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And the fullness of God was so pleased to dwell in Christ. And it was the grace of God that He loved us so much and lavished His grace upon us so much. And He wanted you to experience life as His child. He wanted you to experience life being able to bear His very image. He wanted you to experience life as an image bearer of God so that you would know your true identity, that your true purpose would be revealed. And so He sent Christ Jesus And in one fell swoop, did away with everything that caused us to not live up to that. And now we're free. You're free. You've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. And if you are in Christ Jesus, it means now that you have been anointed by God. The Holy Spirit of God has come upon you, and He has anointed you for service to the King. And not only have you been anointed for your calling, but you've been authorized by the living God to go out from this place and carry His gospel message to people who are in bondage, to people who are oppressed, to people who are living in spiritual blindness. You have been authorized by the living God for this. And you're protected by that anointing. You have the protection of God in that anointing. And you have been set free from your sins and have been called a minister and anointed by as a minister and as a priest. This is your calling. This is your purpose been revealed, so that you can now go out and reveal the nature of God as an anointed minister of the gospel. You are called, church, we are called to stand at the intersection of heaven and earth to declare that Christ is Lord, and that there is repentance for freedom of sins, forgiveness of sins. This is what you're called to do. Stand at the intersection of heaven and earth, making known to the world the wonderful news of God's redemptive work. This is the responsibility that you've been called to. And a responsibility is simply the ability to respond. You see, none of us in this room could ever respond to this ability without the atoning work of Christ and without the anointing of God and His Holy Spirit coming upon you. We are called to this responsibility. Now, I just want to say one last thing, and that is this. As I was just, you know, dwelling on this passage for this week, in the second service, we have two people being baptized. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me. And I'm still working through this, so I'm just saying this as I'm working through it. But when Jesus was baptized, it was in that moment of baptism when He was immersed in water that something took place. A dove descended from heaven. And in that moment, our Lord and our Savior was anointed. In that moment of baptism, Jesus was anointed. And so, as you see in through Acts and Corinthians, and they talk about this, being baptized, repent of your sins and be baptized. They say, be baptized in Christ. In Christ. I truly believe that this baptism is not just a symbol of something. I believe that so much more takes place under this water. It is so significant to who we are, because it's in the waters of baptism that you are baptized into Christ. Romans 6 says it. You're baptized into Christ. It's in that moment that you become recognized and identified as in Christ. And in that moment, your old flesh is peeled off and circumcised. And this thing we were joking around this morning, this thing is full of dead people. That's a grave where dead people live. Where dead people are dead. They don't live there. Dead people are dead. And it's in the baptism of water that people are anointed. And I'm believing from every point from this time forward that every person that we immerse in the water is going to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, empowered for service, empowered and endowed by the living Spirit of God. Every person. So if you're here this morning, if you've never been baptized, this tank is not full yet. But I want to invite you to come to the second service. Talk to me afterwards. And we're going to baptize you along with those. If you have never been baptized into Christ Jesus, it says that when you're baptized in the water, that you are now in Christ. You are now identifying with Christ. And it was upon Jesus' baptism that that dove descended upon him. And it was in that moment that Jesus was anointed. And it was from that moment from there that he went out and did his ministry. It was after he was baptized that he was baptized and he was just set apart and commissioned for the work of the Lord. So as we close this service, if you have never been baptized, I'm telling you, it is so, so, so significant to your spiritual walk with the Lord. It is so significant because I believe that the anointing comes upon. That's what I'm believing for Michelle and Michelle. We're baptizing two Michelles today. And if you're not going to be here, would you please lift them up in prayer? These are ladies who have thought about this decision. This was a calculated, thoughtful decision that they understood that when I take this step, I'm taking the step. And I'm going all in. And my life is now set apart for the work of God. I'm going all in. These two ladies have come to that place where they said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be in Christ. I'm ready to be identified as one of Christ's own. I'm ready to be commissioned and empowered for the work that is ahead. Would you stand with me? As we just close this morning, just bow your heads. Just be in this place with the Lord right now. Open your spiritual eyes. Lord, I pray that you would empower us to see things that we cannot see right now. Father, I pray that you give us the ability to see into the supernatural, to see into the spiritual realm. Lord, I pray that because of the incredible truth that we have just talked about today, read about together today, I pray that there is an unleashing in this church body of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that there is an absolute unleashing of your anointing that falls upon all who call upon you as Lord and Savior. God, I thank you that in this room are a couple dozen ministers for you. I thank you in this room that there are a couple dozen priests in this room who you have anointed and endowed with your Spirit for the work of your ministry. I thank you, Lord God, for every single person here who has set apart their life for your service. God, I pray that as we leave here today, you would open our eyes to see what that service is, that, Lord God, our spirits would be so in tune with your Spirit that you would know your prompting of when to speak and of when to act. I pray, Lord God, that we would be feeling such a oneness with you and your Spirit that we would know when is the time, when is your prompting of when to speak and act so that, Lord God, we can be in tune with what you're doing all around us. Lord, may we not be deadened to your Spirit. But Lord God, may you come alive in us. You have died so that we could be alive. And so God, I pray that the reality of who you are becomes more of a reality in our lives this very moment, God. I'm asking for something that is in accordance with your will. I'm asking for something in accordance with your name. And so God, I know that this is your heart and your desire for us. Awaken us to your Spirit, oh God. Awaken us to your Spirit in this moment, I pray. And so as we leave here, God, may we have eyes wide open in the Spirit. May our hearts be awakened and alive in the Spirit to know what you're doing all around us and cause us to go right into that situation and be your ministers and to be your priests. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.